All right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Mint Sauce podcast. This is episode 220. Format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. The members get full podcasts and downloads. And even non-members get downloads now if you go to sheepfarm.co.uk. And I think you can download it at Podomatic as well, where you get part one there as a non-member. No, it's just easy. Also, people were mentioning on the YouTube trailer I released for last week's podcast with Debbie Evans, the links aren't working on YouTube. The links won't work on YouTube. YouTube don't like links. I can't get them working. So all you've got to do is copy and paste. It's quite simple into a URL. I thought everybody knew that. And I'm useless on computers.
We're all lazy bastards. I'm a lazy bastard as well, by the way.
Yeah. I sent Matt Bajerski a Zoom link, right? Or a Restream link. And he said, don't work, don't link. Because, you know, because I put it in the title of the email. Mm. So even Mark don't know either.
It's annoying when you do that, though.
Yeah. Even more annoying when I've got to do it every time. Mm. Trump card. No, anyway. But so podcasts are always available at sheepfarm.co.uk. It don't matter if the links don't work. Just go to sheepfarm.co.uk. You can listen there. Or go to Podomatic. They're always there. Podomatic Sheep Farm Podcasts, it's called. And they also ship them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Apple, and a few others. Please subscribe and you get notifications by email then. And there are links on there. They do work on the emails. And join us on Instagram. We can join Christian and his ever-growing following.
Yeah.
Is that all we're going to get? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody who orders vitamins from Health Bunker. Remember, use the promo code if you can. It's always in the description on sheepfarm.co.uk and always in the description on Podomatic as well. I don't sometimes put it on YouTube, although it is in there sometimes, but it's definitely on those two. Is a discount code. So yeah, anyway, there you go. If you want to email us there, email supplements@healthbunker.co.uk. The live events in May and July, May the 17th and July the 5th, are sold out. So we're probably going to look at sometime in September or October, possibly, to look at another one, but we'll get these out of the way first.
I'm going to say, depending on how them two go.
Yeah, should go right.
Might be a shitstorm.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a shitstorm. It's not like it's like...
I'm joking.
We're not filling a stadium, are we?
No. How come you mention your Vitsy, but you don't mention the T-shirt?
Well, I always leave it... Hang on a minute, join us on Instagram. I left a big gap there for you to say about your stuff, and you just went, yeah. You know, normal slack ass self. I shouldn't have to mention them. It's part of your show as well, you know.
Yeah. Whatever, Dom. I keep vanishing for some reason.
Good.
Right. Now today we spoke to Guy Anderson. Is that what we're saying?
No, we're not actually. We're not. We had some tech issues with the Zoom, and it was the actual full podcast was 1 hour 45, but 15 minutes of it got lost because my end crashed for some reason. It just went, didn't it, Chris?
Mm.
Just disappeared.
Yeah, and he said we were recording at the top, but we weren't.
Yeah, we weren't recording. So we managed to get an hour and a half of it. So we got the bulk of it anyway.
To be fair,
that hour and a half.
I think that last 15 minutes, I think me and Guy were talking about Star Wars. So I don't think
You were having a conversation about how we thought Jar Jar Binks were better.
Yeah.
Were crap, and you thought you were good.
Star Wars is an interesting subject because it's got a lot of...
Yeah, it is. I agree with you.
But yeah, he didn't want that important. But I really enjoyed the discussion with Guy. I thought it was really good. I think we might get some flack for it because he discusses that he was a Freemason.
Right, yeah.
But I think he explains it quite well. There he joined because he wanted to find out some information, you know, secret Masonic information.
Does it really matter what anybody joined anything for if they come out and say it's nonsense?
Well, what I mean is, though, it was interesting that he said you can get to like two or three, everyone knows there's like 33 degree Masons, and he was talking about how there's ones way above that. But he was saying, like, because my father-in-law was a Mason, you know, he joined, and loads of people who were Masons, but they joined as business.
You know, loads of people.
I know a few.
No, that's not loads, though, is it?
Well, because when I used to do the, what is it, though? When I used to do the, I mean, explain it in this. When I was a kid, I was a waiter. We used to do outside catering, and we did it in Halifax, and it was for Masons. Yeah. And sometimes there'd be people there who knew.
Right. Did you have, like, arseless chaps on?
Who knew his dad and stuff. And so, yeah, I did know a few. I'm not saying
that. Now you are digging us a deeper hole, aren't you?
Well, it don't matter, does it? I mean, yeah.
We had sheep and goats and all. Yeah, sheep and goats down at farm as well.
Well, my missus's dad were in it just for the jollies and the, you know, and like that's what guy's explaining. And he was saying that you can't get past the third degree unless you know someone or you're part of a blood, you know, or you're in it and you get moved up.
One thing they do is they obviously do each other favours, i.e.
Yeah.
speeding or whatever.
Which is probably why most people join, because they want to be part of a little club where you can get away with stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to join that club.
No, he's the biggest subject than probably we'll ever know, isn't it?
It is, because I think the ground level, I heard Crow and Jason talking about it, like the ground level Masons, they're just average people.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
they're just normal people that want a leg up in life, that think it's a shortcut to helping them do certain things and what have you. And it probably is. However, the real nasty stuff the higher up is obviously the different orders that they have. And the guy actually explains it in this very well, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoy it. But anyway, the reason that he's on is not because he was in the Mason. In fairness to him, he didn't have to mention that, does he?
No, he mentions it in his book.
But he didn't have to, did he?
No, but you might as well, because if someone finds out, then they'll think you've been a dodger. But yeah, he joined it out of intrigue, which I can understand. I'm sure people might think that otherwise. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It seemed like he was a nice
person. Isn't it weird how he can't even have a conversation about it, because somebody will say, "Ah, I told you."
Yeah. Well, is it? I found him a really nice bloke, and I found the discussion very interesting.
Yeah, so did I. And about Tartaria as well.
Yeah, well, that's what he's written his book about, yeah. He's written a book called... Oh, I've left it upstairs. He's written a book called... what is it? Tesla and the Cabbage
Patch Kids. The Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, which is a subject I'm sure a lot of people have... It's come on the radar. It's a very interesting thing. I don't think we've ever done anything on that really before. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, as history's been lied to us about.
Yes.
Going even recent history, obviously.
Yeah.
Never mind old history. And I think after, you know, the lies we got told in 2020, anything's on the table, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. Mm. I would say so, yeah. All right, then. Well, we'll leave you there. We're going to try and keep these intros short. Just like the podcast, we're going to try and keep them short.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, well, I hope you enjoy this conversation we have with Guy Anderson. If you put journalism in part 2, we'll see you there. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye.
All right, welcome. And this is episode 220.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got it right this time.
Yeah, I got it wrong last time.
Yeah, you got it wrong.
Gave you a load of shit for it and I was wrong.
Yeah, I know. The marbles are rolling round. Yeah. It's a second. This is the second guest
who's invited. Third.
Who was the first?
It was the guy.
Apart from you.
I've forgotten.
Right. That's helpful.
Yeah.
I'm going with second then.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's three, definitely three. Yeah. What's his name? The guy who wrote the book, that 180 book.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember his name. Yeah. That was quite a while ago. That was 2 years ago.
That was right when we first started.
So out of 220 episodes, you've invited three friends.
Well, tonight we've got Guy Anderson, who's written a book, Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids, and he contacted us and asked, and I watched a few of his YouTube videos. He did one with Dellenpole, and I watched one with his son as well. That was a nice one, Guy, with his son.
Yeah, you like that.
That was a nice dynamic, wasn't it? He basically got his son interviewing him, though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was trying to give him a bit of a leg up, because he started this YouTube channel. It's what he wants to do for a career. Mm. And I thought what I would do
Don't
is...
do it.
I am demonetized, so I've got to worry about it. Apparently, I put up harmful content,
So you've
but
ruined his YouTube channel.
I just thought if I went on there, then it would give me just to talk because he talks about yoga and meditation and stoicism and the odd conspiracy. I thought if I go on there and talk to him about Tartaria, I can then put it in my Facebook group. And that might drive some traffic to him. So I was just doing the dad thing.
And he
It's not what
bollocks
he's into.
it up for him. You should get him to speak to my son. He's into art. He's more out there than I
He's
am,
more
I think.
arty-farty than you, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a musician.
Is
Talking.
he?
Yeah, he was talking to me today about a book, which I'm going to buy actually. Yeah, a book. Do you remember the song? Right, you probably don't. Omar sang a song, "The Golden Flower." You know Omar? Oh, you do? Oh, brilliant! Right. So he did
There's
a song
nothing
with
like
Gallic. He
this.
did this. Yes, that's him. Yeah, I saw him live last year. Brilliant. And he was on the Freedom Marches in London.
Was he really?
Yeah, someone took a picture of him when we mentioned him on a podcast. But he did a song called "Golden Flower" with Galliano. I don't know if you remember. I can't
I
sing it. I
remember
can't
it,
really. Yeah, on the Golden Flower. And apparently, it's based on some Chinese, ancient Chinese teaching. The secret of the golden flower, and Carl Jung did an intro to this book. I've just put it in my basket on there. What is it? I'm going to buy it, and it's all about learning. It's like written in 1600s, talking about that you should look within. So I was talking to Seb today about it, and he said in the book it's saying governments and politicians are just there to distract you from looking within. This was written in 1600s.
They'll never take off.
So I thought it's called The Secret of the Golden Flower, a Chinese book of
Not
life.
shower.
Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know why I got into that. Anyway, well, my point was that might be more something that your son's into. Yeah,
He
so.
seems to be massively into stoicism. He keeps talking about Marcus Aurelius and that and he is actually he's very sort of balanced, but as a direct result of his 4 or 5 years now studying this, he has no real highs and lows. He takes everything in his stride. So you never see him incredibly excited about anything.
Or upset.
Which is a
That's not a
that's a
bad place to be,
plus,
is it?
but he just seems to take everything just as it comes, and he tries to put a spin. If something bad happens, he sees it as an opportunity for change. And I say to him, I don't know how you do it. And he says, Dad,
That's brilliant.
it's
That's
bloody
good.
hard. It is hard.
It's hard,
I
is
think he's a
it?
duck. I think underneath the water, he's flapping a bit now and again, but he tries to remain calm. And I just call him my little Yoda. I sent him, he was at primary school when I sent him down the rabbit hole.
Right. All
Yeah,
right,
I
so it's
didn't, I got sent down there in my late teens. He was, he was about 9, 10.
Yeah, I did that to my eldest, and I'm sure Chris did it to his. I'd shown him chemtrails and all sorts of other stuff, and
You've got to do it. You've got
yeah,
to do it.
there's a little I suppose there's a little army being coming out now, isn't there, of the next generation, the second, third generation even of
I actually
the
think the younger ones can see a lot easier than us who've got years and years of all this toxic sludge that we've been carting around to see through that with
And
blindfolds on
also,
and blinkers and all the other stuff.
they're in an environment where it's not unusual to talk about things like that. Like I said, with Seb talking about, he was ringing me talking about this book from ancient Chinese. It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine if we'd have said that to our dad? I remember saying to my dad, we're in a van with him once driving along, and I said something like, wouldn't it be interesting if you could live forever and just see, where you were going and what how the planet had developed and blah blah blah? He went, "You fucking think too much, you do, young man. You're going to drive yourself fucking mad, lad." It was just one question, Oh, that were it. Do you not wish you could live forever, Dad? I once said to him as well. He went, "Live forever? I fucking had enough already." True story. Anyway, guy, you've written this book. I'm only 30 pages into it, but it's really good. It's about Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids. Where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about the fact? I think maybe we should. Should we talk about your Masonic career?
Not much of a career, but I think I got made redundant.
Explain your Masonic journey then.
When I was a kid, my dad used to disappear, wearing what looked like a morning suit. So I didn't know what was going on, and he's got this briefcase that he kept locked. He wouldn't let anybody in it. And my mum used to joke. She used to say, "You're going off with your pinny. You've got your pinny in your case. You're going off to your girl guides and stuff like that." And he always used to say the same thing. He used to say, "Laugh as much as you like. We run the fucking world."
Right? Did you say that?
He said that every single time. And she just thought it was a big joke. But one day I managed to work out the combination of his briefcase, and it was our phone number. I don't know why I didn't try that earlier on. It took me weeks to, every now and again I'd go and have another go. And I'd get the apron out, and I've got this book out, and this book's full of all this stuff, but it's in code. There are letters missing in words, so I couldn't figure out what they were. And obviously, there's no internet when I'm doing this. This is the early 80s, And I started reading some of the books that he'd bought to do with Freemasonry and sort of conspiratorial too, from Atlantis to the Sphinx, and a lot of sort of stuff to do with Egypt. When I was about 20, he started inviting me to dinner parties, I suppose, that were Masonic, what they call ladies' festivals. So they'd have a big dinner and dance, and they'd invite non-Masons. So you invite your friends and family, and it's basically a recruitment process. Everybody gets drunk and they try and suss out whether or not they should recruit you. Nothing came of it, and I was in my early 20s now, and I'm more interested in what my friends are doing at the weekend than doing anything like that. And then I met this fella who lived across the road from me. He was a presenter on Eurosport, and his dad was really high up in Freemasonry. And he invited me to one of these do's, and I hadn't been for like 20 years. But I'm around 30 at this point. And I said, "Yeah, my dad's a Master Mason. I used to go to the odd do, and but I am interested. I find it fascinating." And by this point, I'm into conspiracy theories.
Right.
And I thought, if I
What a good
joined,
mix.
yeah, well, you're right. You are right in the middle of it all, aren't you? Well, at least I thought I was. It turned out I wasn't. But I thought, well, I can find out answers to questions if I join. And so I did, but the fortunate thing was, most towns and cities, as you know, will have a lodge. Even small towns, they'll have a lodge in them, and they'll meet 7 times a year, once a month. They don't tend to meet during the summer months. It sort of packs up May, starts again September, because people are on holiday. I think they traditionally have trouble getting everybody to attend. So normally 7 times a year, and I was invited to join a lodge in London, and they meet at the Grand Lodge of the United Kingdom, the headquarters for the world.
Where's that? Where's that guy?
Great Queen Street
It's strange, Guy,
in London.
because I've been doing some research on the Asher family. I'm going to release a presentation called Ashes to Asher, and it's interesting because one of the lines that always runs through these people is that they've got obviously Masonic links or some kind of even satanic or whatever, but Masonic. And Jane Asher's mother were called Margaret Elliot, and there's actually. And they were from the Earls of Jermyn in Cornwall. And they've got an Elliot Lodge. They're not just Masons, they've got their own fucking lodge. So that set off all her relations, basically, have got their own lodges, not just Masons. So all the people that were surrounding Paul McCartney were all Masons. Anyway, this research will come out in probably about 5 or 6 weeks' time. But
Right.
by a
very
coincidence as well,
interesting.
Guy, when I was a kid, I used to be a waiter at the Hilton. And one of the chefs there used to do some outside catering in Halifax. And a lot of it were for lodges, for Masonic lodges. And I didn't know what was going on. I'd be there waiting on, and they'd have all the kit there. And then they'd all
What, when they
turn
said to you, take your clothes off and play with that
up. The goat
goat?
always comes
I don't know
into
what's
it.
going on. I don't know what's going
They'd
on.
go into a room and lock the door, and no one was allowed in.
Right.
And as a kid, I just thought, what the hell's going on? And then someone said, oh, it's like a secret thing. But then weirdly, in fact, when I moved to London, so just a few years later, I moved to a hotel on Liverpool Street, Great Eastern Hotel, and that had a Masonic lodge inside it. And I went in once. The cleaner let me in. And it had the whole, you know, checkered floor.
I remember
and
coming to visit you.
Yeah, you did
visit you, and they were all there. Yeah.
Well, you know, in the morning suits. You actually were in there once, and they all turned up, all in the black suits and ties. Because at the top of that stair, there's like a big old ornate marble staircase. Right. If you remember, at the top of there, that's where the lodge was. I don't know which one. Have you heard of that one guy on Liverpool Street?
No, no.
It was quite a big one, apparently.
Miles away from there, but
the reason why I interrupted you there, Guy, is because one of the relations of Jane Asher's was the Grand Master of that lodge that you just mentioned.
All right,
right.
Yeah,
right. Sorry, Guy, we both interrupted you there.
No, you're all right. So I joined at and Google Earth it or Google it, Google Maps, the Grand Lodge of the United Kingdom in Great Queen Street. And what you'll see from above is the whole building, which is literally the entire street, is a coffin.
Wow.
It's built in the shape of a coffin from above. You can't see it as you walk past. It's massive. These huge brass doors, they're balanced with pennies on them, so you can just push them with your finger. So it's a bit inside. It's a bit like Hogwarts. So the advantage I had was that the lodge that I was invited to join happened to meet in the headquarters. There's a museum there as well. The place is phenomenal. So the Knights Templar meet there. Prince Michael, the Duke of Kent, who's the Grand Master for the United Kingdom, he meets there. So I got in a good one, I guess. Jim Davidson, funny enough, is in the lodge that I went to.
Jockey White.
Who else? Ronnie Scott, Dick Emery.
Ronnie Scott, the jazz musician, the jazz club.
Yeah, he was in my lodge.
His jazz club never got famous until he died.
Weird. Isn't that weird how things like that always happen?
Yeah. He brought jazz to London, didn't he? And then...
Yeah.
He was trying to make it, try and make jazz a thing, and then he died, and it got famous. Now it's the most famous jazz club in England, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've actually been there a few times. In fact, I went there, and I had a pork pie hat on, and it was my missus's. It was a work do for my missus. I had a pork pie hat on and a leather jacket, and I went up to the door, and the woman went, "Are you in the band?" And I went, "Yes." Do you want to just go in? So I just went straight in. And they all came in about half an hour later. How the hell did you get in so quick? Because I didn't even pay.
Oh, you could not.
Sorry,
if they're going to ask you something like that, what do they expect?
It was just that moment, yeah. Are you with a band? Yeah. I just thought to see what happened.
What do you play? Cymbal?
Yeah, he's in a reggae band. He stands at the back. He plays the triangle. He stands at the backhand ting.
Oh, maracas. It's always your favourite band to do nothing. So, go on. Ronnie Scott, we're in the Grand.
So it's called Lucullus. And so I joined, and it's progressive. So you start off as what they call an entered apprentice. So you know very little. And you spend a year learning. They have something called Lodge of Instruction. So once a month, everybody meets up and you're taught what to do in the meetings. And the meetings are normally, there's normally something happening where someone's progressing through the ranks. You only ever see someone in a normal lodge, what they call craft, which is what most people see with the white and blue aprons and the mourning suits, because you're in constant mourning for Hiram Abiff. He was the first master mason and he was killed for not giving over the handshake and the password. So you're in mourning for him. And that's why they wear the mourning suits or the black suits. And that's the problem. You're kicked out a lot because somebody in there will be raised from the first degree to the second degree. And if you're still at the first, you have to leave the room because you can't see what happens. Right. Because for each degree, there's a different handshake, what they call a grip, and there's a different password. And that's what they call a token. So you have a grip or token for each degree. And when you get to the third degree, you become a master mason. But there are 30 more to go. And very few people get to 33rd. 33rd degree is invitation only. It's honorary and it's invitation only. It's what they call higher teaching. But what a lot of people don't know is that some Masonic groups and sects, if you like, actually have a lot more. For example, the Illuminati have 13 higher degrees. They have a total of 46.
Right.
and these are unknown. Nobody knows what they're called. In ancient mystic school knowledge or learning, there are actually 99 degrees, and they say that they study with that things like astral projection, magic, hidden realms. 99 degrees. So you think everybody talks about they heard of someone or they know someone who's a 33rd degree Freemason. That is just the beginning. They're just the degrees that we know about. They're potentially, depending on what group you're in, there's up to 99 of them. And that is when it gets dark. Really, really dark.
Or darker.
Even darker. They say that that above that level, they're called the unknown superiors or the superiors incarnus. And that group of people that are higher than the Illuminati, higher than the 33rd degree Freemasons.
That's like the Force in Star Wars.
It's exactly like that.
I was going to say,
they are into all of this stuff.
Are they actually the they that we talk about? They did, is that the they?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's claimed that their wisdom, that the people that are right at the very top, the 99th degree in Scottish Rite Freemasonry or the 46th degree in the Illuminati, that they are actually an invisible hierarchy of enlightened beings. And it goes back to Atlantis.
Well, that doesn't surprise anybody. With any research, you can see that is going on, can't you?
Do you think the word, because we don't use that word, really, do you think that Illuminati word got hijacked by pop culture on purpose to ridicule and to make it all just look a little bit?
Yeah.
Because when Fritz Springmeier came out with the 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati, it wasn't much known about, was it? But then all of a sudden, everyone's doing these hand signs saying, I want to be new. It was clearly a psyop on purpose, I would say, to make it look stupid.
I think so. I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I think Fritz Springmeier opened a door, probably like you're doing, Guy, into a world that nobody had ever heard of or seen at that particular point, where he lumped all these families together and some sub-families as well within their families. And it were quite blatantly obvious, a bit like Dave McGowan did with his book Laurel Canyon, showing that all these people were military.
Yeah.
It's quite obvious once you see it there in one place, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it is often in plain sight, but I've argued for a long time that we know that the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, and so on. We know about these families. We know that they're powerful. We know that they think they come from the very beginnings, or their Anunnaki ancestors, or whoever they are. But my argument is that there is something beyond that. There is no way that the true rulers of the world, the ones that run the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, World Economic Forum, and the Vatican, the Jesuits. There's no way we're going to know who they are. And they do say, if you dig into it, everybody says the same thing. They say that these are quite possible. And this isn't me. This is, people can Google this. I'm not saying Google's the answer, but they'll find conspiracies within it. Most people say they're beings. That they're not
other entities,
extraterrestrial.
Whatever we want to view as extraterrestrial as well, it could be inner Earth as much as
absolutely, absolutely right. Yeah, there are actually 9 possibilities for what is sat at the very top, the pyramid of control. I mean, it just says world monarch when you look at the pyramid of control or pyramid of power,
what was monarch? Monarch was a brainwashing control mechanism. Operation.
This is according to,
Interesting. Interesting as well that all the rulers are called monarchs.
Yes.
But anyway, that might.
Yeah.
Must be another coincidence.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What level did you get to in the
third? Is that pretty standard? That's what they call a master mason, and there's not much more than that. I mean, once you go through the chair, I was a year away from being the master of the lodge, and I just packed it in. Half of my lodge was Scotland Yard.
Was it? Yeah,
because
that
it was right next door.
That was one of the periods when Masons came into the fray, in it, because I think they stopped policemen being able to be secret Masons.
Or
I remember seeing that in the 90s.
Yeah.
But I mean, but like, for you as a young man, what, 30, I think you said you were, you might have done, you know, if you got me in my 25 and someone said you're enjoying a secret club, I'd be all over it, I think. If I didn't, if I weren't a conspiratorial thinker, I'd have been like, oh, bloody hell, yeah. You know,
but would you have maybe, see, that it was that part of me that maybe want to join.
Mm.
Because I'm into conspiracy theories, I thought I'd get the answer.
Yeah.
I wanted to know who built the pyramids. I wanted to know, King Solomon. And King Solomon, incidentally, is supposed to be one of the first rulers of Tartaria. So I wanted to know all of this stuff. And I thought I'd find it out. And it's a close chop. You get to know bits and pieces, but you've got to have the right breeding. And what I saw, and the reason that, you know, you said about the police having to disclose that they're a member, it's very clever what they do. So let's say you're the inspector and I'm the PC, but actually I'm a high-ranking Freemason, and you decide you want to join. So I invite you to join my lodge. And then what happens is there's a promotion coming up for sergeant. I go and approach you and say, I'd like to apply. You now have to give me that job, because what you're not allowed to do is anything that's detrimental to a brother. So if I don't get that promotion, the next lodge meeting, you're out.
Bloody hell. That's simple.
You've just shat on me. You're not. You swore you would never do that, and you did. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine that's just a
instant
small
corruption.
Example.
Yeah, it's instant
corruption. It's instant corruption, and...
It is.
I mean, obviously, I treat Chris like that. as a brother. but you can imagine how... Why these people get into positions when you think, because he got that job, it's useless type of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know what? It's funny you mentioned that.
Queer Stalin. Yeah.
6 weeks before Boris Johnson got in, I was at a meeting where my youngest son, who you saw me on his channel chatting about Tartaria, he wanted to join. For years he wanted to join. I sent him, like I said to you earlier on, I sent him down the rabbit hole when he was at primary school. And he was obsessed with Freemasonry and he wanted to know stuff. So when he turned 18, he joined. Around his 18th birthday, he joined the Freemasons. He was the youngest one in the country at the time. And I pulled a favour. And the secretary who runs the lodge, really, was the Prime Minister's advisor for the Met Police. Anyway, we turn up on the day he's being initiated, and this fella, the secretary, I won't say his name, but he's over an hour late. And we're all sat around. There's no bar in the Grand Lodge. There's pubs across the road. There's one called the Four Pillars. Normally people drink in there, but there's no bar. It's dry. So we're just hanging around and everybody's getting a bit fidgety and a bit fed up of waiting. And he eventually turns up and someone says to him, where the bloody hell have you been? You know, you organised this meeting, you set the time, everybody's come. I've come from Northampton to the city, which took me 2 hours, you know, in traffic and parking and everything. You had to come from Westminster. You know, why didn't you just put it back an hour? Why have we been hanging around? He said, I'm so sorry, I've been in a meeting for 6 hours today where they decided who the next Prime Minister was going to be.
Fuck
and
you.
I turned around to him and said, come on, Rob, like, we haven't voted yet. What are you talking about? And he laughed and he said, you think someone gives a shit about your vote? That's not how it works. The meeting was 6 hours. They decided it was going to be Boris Johnson. I said, what did Boris say? And he said, it's not what Boris says. Boris was told he'll do what he's bloody well told to do.
And that's what it looked like. During 2020, it looked like he'd been dragged through the gates of hell.
He kind of looks like he's gone for a hedge.
Yeah,
backwards.
Right, he does anyway in the best of times.
Yeah,
right?
But yeah, it's
but
not
the,
down
he, the
to...
terror in his eyes. He knew what he was doing.
But the same happened with Keir Starmer. He was summoned to the Hotel Bilderberg in Holland, and where obviously he meets the Rothschilds and whoever else is the demiurge, whoever that is, all these people. He's summoned there. And within a couple of, I think within a couple of months, he was then the leader of the Labour Party. And they, what they do is they find people, people that they can corrupt, people they've got a bit of dirt on, people they can manipulate, and they put them into positions of power. And they do that around the world. The Bilderberg Group also puts in, with the exception of Trump, it puts the presidents in as well. It decides who's going to be doing that job. So that's where it's all done. Bilderberg in Amsterdam.
Well, it's
in Holland. Sorry, big
pardon. The Bushes and the Trudeaus. Trudeau's grandfather was a Sinclair. So it goes back all the way back to the Roslyn Chapel, and they were obviously part of the Scottish Rite. The Scottish Rite. So his direct ancestor, but Bush is also a Sinclair as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he goes back. They share a common ancestor who's a Sinclair or a Sinclair, Sinclair in French. But so they were all part. It never ceases to amaze me when you're doing this, that type of work, that there's always somebody in their genealogy. And it's like they've made this ancient pact, a contract somewhere down the line, because they know it's not that they know the future. Someone's controlling the future.
Yeah.
It's a totally different mindset when you know that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. I think that they believe that this is their birthright. Their bloodline was put in place. I mean, I don't know if you follow Billy Carson at all. He's been sort of shot down a bit recently, but he said that this goes back to Marduk, the Anunnaki. Amun-Ra, as he's known as the Pharaoh, and when he sort of disappeared, he said that he was leaving everything to the Ra-childs, to his children. The Rothschilds will inherit the earth. They'll inherit the power and
the parasite.
Absolutely. Absolutely parasitic. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more.
Machiavellian parasite.
Yes.
Sort of sums it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think parasites is the right word, because, you know, these people live from us. They always have. You know, they want a war, we go fight it. They want money, we pay tax to them in one way or another.
Do you think these are the managers? Not necessarily the it's like when Bill Gates is flying, flying around, telling everybody what to do, who's going to jab everybody and do all this stuff. He doesn't look in control. He looks like the guy, you know, the baddie off James Bond, who sort of like the man in the latest ones, where I think they made him drink oil in one of the James Bond films back in, and he ended up killing him. But he was like going around and having secret meetings with people, trying to get everybody. That's what Bill Gates looks like, that kind of character.
Yeah, like a facilitator.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that what people like Gates have done, and you know, people, Branson is another one that's got a really shady sort of part to him, where he happens to own most of the abortion centres in the UK and has a company called Virgin. You know, there's something quite sinister going on there.
I've got a video. We've got a video. We
did a bit about the abortion clinics, didn't we? But I didn't realize he owned them all over the country.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah.
That video you had was when he first started.
He first started in the late 60s, somebody went to interview him. So in his, where he started selling records from, he also had the first
Market
abortion
in
clinic.
Cambridge.
He had the first abortion clinic there.
Was it in Cambridge?
Yeah. Line Yard Market.
It was BBC. Yeah, the BBC. Like 1960s, late 1960s, went and interviewed him, and he had like his big glasses on and red hair.
Sorry, Dom. So that video you had of him in that off, was that in Cambridge? I always thought it was in London.
I presumed it was in London, but I didn't know if it was Cambridge.
It might be, yeah. But that's how he started off. I mean, he got kicked out of Stowe School in Buckingham for selling weed, and then he was selling secondhand records on a market stall in Cambridge.
Well, do you know the interesting thing? Do you know his Virgin Red? He's got a Scarlet Lady, hasn't he? I followed his bloodline back. He's got a royal bloodline, but I followed it back. And he had a guy in his bloodline called de Burg, or a lady. And he's actually related to Chris de Burg, who wrote The Fucking Lady in Red. Who wrote it about Princess Diana. And they're all related to Princess Diana. Chris de Burg got a royal bloodline. And also, so is Jane Asher. Asher's... And she's got red hair. I mean, anyway... there's more to that, by the way. It's going to be in part two.
The whole red dress thing, there's quite a bit to, isn't there?
Yes.
Rosemary's Baby and seeing Kate when she came out with
Rosemary's Baby dress on there.
But you also see that on the the Cabbage Patch Baby postcards, a lot of those, there'll be a woman wearing a red dress in there. Yeah. And I think they hide in plain sight. And I think that that's to do with karma. I think that they, for whatever reason, they need to tell us what they're doing, but they don't need to tell us directly. So they do it in a roundabout way through media, through music.
I think of Schindler's List as well.
Yeah.
Yes, of
course. Well, the Rothschild name is Red Shield, isn't it? Mm. So
yeah, it is. Yeah. Mm.
So just before we go into the Tartary stuff, Guy, how did you get out of the Masons then? Because people are going to think you're still a Mason, by the way, who listen to this.
Well, I am, because once you join, that's it. It's like Hotel California. You know, you can check out any time you like, but you can't leave because I can't not be a Mason. I am a Master Mason, and I know the password. I know the handshake. I know the stuff. I've still got the apron. But what happens is you drop off the radar. So I just
unless you write a book about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or speak about it on
podcasts. And I do often wonder. It's funny, you know, and somebody said to me about 6 months ago, I don't know who it was. I just got a message from somebody. This was on TikTok. And they said, I've just read your book. And I've got to say, if the Freemasons ever find you, I do hope you make enough money out of this to get a bodyguard.
Right.
Ooh. I thought, thanks for that. I hadn't thought about it. It wasn't something I was worrying about, and now it is. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be on their radar. There's so much stuff out there. I mean, you know,
You got to level 3, so you.
Yeah, exactly.
Secret information. Did you find anything juicy out? I mean,
no, nothing. Other than, I suppose for me, it was more of a disappointment. I thought I was going to find out more than I did. I thought that you could go all the way to 33rd. That's not going to happen. I would have needed to have been doing something pretty incredible, and that would have had to have been financial in some respect, either raising a lot of money for charity, or brown nosing, or donating a lot of money myself. And really what I found was it's for coppers and people that are retired. You need a lot of spare time on your hands to really commit to it, because although they only meet 7 times a year, what happens is you're then invited to other lodges as a visitor, and you can't really turn it down, because it could be someone quite high ranking that asks you to another meeting. Oh, I'd like to invite you as a guest, and you can't say no. And these happen in sort of around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, if you're 2 hours away, that's an afternoon off work. Mm. And I got to the point where the MP for Northamptonshire, so I lived in Northampton, he was inviting me out all the time. I just happened to live near him. And I was constantly having to go to work and say, oh yeah, I've got to leave early again today. And they were saying, oh, not another bloody lodge meeting. Mm. Jesus Christ. When's this going to benefit us?
So I suppose they might be checking your commitment as well at that point, might they?
I think so, to an extent. I think so. And some people take it more seriously than others. But the lodge that I was in, all I saw really were police pretending they were still on duty, but turning up to a lodge meeting, being in a lodge meeting and nipping out to take a call, which you're not supposed to do, patting each other on the back, helping each other up the rung. The fellow that became the advisor for the Met Police to the Prime Minister, when I joined, he was a detective sergeant for British Transport Police. Within 10 years, through his Masonic connections, and because he joined about half a dozen bloody lodges, and he was always doing things, always helping them organise events. How do you go from a detective sergeant, British Transport Police, spending most of your life down in the London Underground, to sitting in Westminster and 10 Downing Street? How do you do that?
Goat.
Yeah, that's weird. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the goat out.
Yeah.
So people just abuse it. And there's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of people who think that they're going to do some good work. Maybe there's normally kids involved with charities, and they'll raise money for a children's ward and stuff like that. And I think that that's so, one, I think that, that's something that some people enjoy doing. But secondly, I think that they want to be seen for doing that. Yeah. So they say, look what we do in the community, when actually what they do is they help each other get out the shit, get promotions, get off speeding, get
that's
that
the
bank
soft
loan
side,
that they
isn't it?
Couldn't. Yeah.
That's the soft side. Yeah. That's the wallpaper type of thing.
Do you think there's good lodgers then, Guy, and more sinister ones?
I think that they're, I think what they call craft, which is just your regular lodgers, I think they're all good. I don't think there's anybody in there that isn't. But what we don't know is what happens after the third degree, because that's it for most people. What happens next? I mean, there is always this thing about the goat. But you have these spin-off called Chapter. And once you become a Master Mason, you'll be invited to join a chapter. And perhaps the most famous chapter, the spin-off, if you like, is the Knights Templar. Now, what happens in those meetings, we don't know. But I've been into one of the rooms, and there is a skull in there. I'll be honest with you, I was pissed out of my face. I can't remember what it was. Was it a goat skull or not? Something tells me it was. The whole setup of the room was different. They have three masters of the lodge, where typically you just have one. It was very different. Right. And I was interested in doing that because the Knights Templar fascinated me, but I bailed. They don't even write to me anymore. You used to get a summons telling you where the next meeting was, and you were summoned to attend. And I haven't had one of those for a long time. They don't even know where I live.
Right.
I've moved three times since I... yeah. I am in the middle of nowhere.
My father-in-law were a Mason.
And he were called Sheila.
My father-in-law were in the Masons. Like probably, yeah, look, I know for a fact he just were in it for the, you know, nights out and the boot and
good
the beer.
Social life.
Yeah. But he once had an argument with his, well, my mother-in-law, and she... cut the fingers off his white gloves. So when he put them on, they were just fucking fingerless fisherman gloves.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's the only story I've got about Masons from him.
I don't, my son, you know, he joined. He doesn't go anymore. A few of my friends wanted to join. They don't go anymore. And it is, I found when I joined, I was the youngest person in the building. And what I realized was at the lodge I was in, you either needed to be a copper, and then you could use it, or you had to be retired. And then it's time. It's a nice afternoon and evening out. It's a bit of socializing, bit of fun.
When you look at the mix, coppers, judges, lawyers, even
MPs.
Religious people, MPs, all. These people basically make the world go, finance accountants or financial guys, investors, you know, all these people make the world go around. Doctors, you know, they're all part of that club. And if they're rubbing each other's back, what happens when something goes wrong? You know, somebody gets hurt, they're going to cover it, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So even at a low level, they're still corrupting the system, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, I watched one particular lodge in Northampton. They owned a car park. I won't name the name of the town it's in, but they owned the car park. So they got this Masonic lodge and quite a large car park. And the council approached them and asked to buy it. So they have a vote and they decide, yeah, okay, we can put the money into the lodge. We can do some stuff for charity. We'll sell the car park off. And they sold it for £750,000. The provincial Grand Master at the time had an accountancy firm. His friend had a law firm, and they also had a friend in the lodge that was a surveyor. By the time they'd put all of their fees through for managing this sale, there was no money left.
Costs a lot of money to survey.
Does, doesn't it? Yeah, not a single penny left.
Right.
So that's... A low level of what
instant
you can
corruption
do.
Again, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So they feather their own nest. They use it. Police use it to get promoted. People use it because they can then use the police to get them off. Back in the day, it was a lot easier. Get off a speeding ticket, and I guess if you're high up enough, then you can get away with anything.
Well, if you look at the politicians now, especially over the last 10 years, especially 5 years, that's how they behave, isn't it? That's how they behave with everything.
Yeah.
It's how everything seems in worldwide politics now, doesn't it? It just seems like a Masonic.
Well, plot. what you've answered there about, say, Boris Johnson, which is a big part of my book, is about 18 chapters, ironically. But all through the research we did, the four episodes we did of him, Chris, he just lied constantly all the way through his life. And it was like there was never ever going to be anything that stopped his ascendancy. No. And no matter how bad he behaved or what he said, nothing stopped it. Because what you've just said there, he'd obviously been pre-told that he was this character from a young age, which is what we thought, you know?
They reckon they take them to one side at Eton.
Mm.
And they're approached and they're told.
Well, his nanny said that he used to say he was going to be prime minister, didn't she?
Mm. Yeah.
I think they know from a young age. Yeah. I think the fact that you've got a nanny probably suggests that you're going to be doing something quite powerful because you're coming from serious money, aren't you?
Speaking of goats again.
yeah. I wonder if he's still in touch with it.
Apparently she was a 6'1" chain-smoking nanny.
Really?
Yeah.
Possibly a geezer.
Yeah. She used to have baths with him. She used to have baths with him, apparently.
Did she?
Yeah. The school he went to, he got the shit beaten out of him. I've seen his blogs, he's written about it.
Right.
And there were abuse going on. It's closed down now at Ashdown House because there were several teachers.
Is that where his sisters went as well?
Yeah, he's only got one sister. His sister and his brothers went
there. But his dad lives near here.
Yeah.
His sister were the first girl to go to an all-boys school.
Yeah. And no, that school.
That school, yeah.
Not all, yeah, not.
Well,
not
it was a boys' school, wasn't it?
Yeah, not any old boys, all boys' schools. Just Ashdown. Yeah.
No, I'm saying it was a boys' school.
Yes, it was.
Boris Johnson's dad got her into the school and said, if you don't take her, I'll take my boys out as well.
Yeah.
So what power did he have?
Well, I think it were. The guy that were running the school, Billy Williamson, yeah, he was the headmaster who used to beat shit out of everybody. He was, well, he was probably inclined to be a Mason as well, who was in a same, who was told that these kids had to go there, probably.
Yeah.
But the trauma.
Boris Johnson's dad never even went to the school.
Yeah, never even checked on, even though there was sexual abuse and all sorts of stuff going on.
Seems as a system there, doesn't it?
I made a point in one of the chapters that I've wrote and I've given away. But if you became a powerful MP or a powerful journalist or even Lord Mayor of London or even a member of a cabinet or the Prime Minister, surely you'd mention that you wanted to close this school down that beat shit out of you when you were a child.
Yeah.
And there was the massive case going on about this school while Boris Johnson was Prime Minister.
You've got no pack. You're right. You'd make a big, I'm going to terrorise this. I'm going to destroy this school because what it did to me. Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm going to reap revenge on it, at least.
Even if it's just that one school. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, you imagine what goes on at Eton. Mm. I mean, aren't they given, like, your first day there, if you start at the youngest age? I mean, you are literally someone's bitch, aren't you? You're cleaning people's shoes, you're running around for them. What else goes on?
Yeah, but I think that there's certain ones that are plucked out. If you speak to James, he actually wanted to be part of MI6, and the guy wouldn't ask him. And they obviously pick a certain, obviously, mentality to...
Yeah.
Or they think that mentality will have a group of people... And then they'll pick several, it'll be like joining SAS, they'll pick five or six out of them people that go.
But what a perfect place to choose in a classroom where you know, you see every kid, you see how they behave, you see all the, you know, you can tell the mentality.
Yeah.
It's the best place to choose, you'd find to choose someone like that, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I think happens. I think that is done at school, that they are approached and that's their journey is then mapped out for them.
Chris equates it to, Omen, specifically Omen 2, where Damien finds out that sergeant's been watching him all his life.
And
he doesn't even know. So these people actually think that they're good, whatever, singers, actors, whatever it might be, and they don't realise that they've actually, all the tracks have been greased until they get to a certain point and somebody comes and says, we've P-Didded you, we've got this on you now. You're going to have to work for us, my little puppy.
Have you heard of someone called Donald Marshall?
No.
So Donald Marshall, Bluminati family, I've got one of his books somewhere. I started following him about 10 years ago. There you go. I don't know if you can see this, but that's the front cover of that. That's a Megadeth album cover.
Right.
That is beaten and tortured there, his clone.
Right.
And what he said was, what happens is when you sell your soul, because let's say you are Beyonce and you want to be famous, the Illuminati will approach you and they will say, okay, well, you know, we own all the record labels. If you sell your soul to us, then we will get you number one. Here, we'll get you on all of the radio interviews. We'll get you on all the TV shows. We'll make you a star, but you've got to sell your soul. And they get them to sign this blood contract. And of course, a lot of these people are religious. They don't believe in the whole soul thing. They think it's just a bit of a joke. But what they don't realize is they're selling the rights for them to be cloned. This is what Donald Marshall says.
I've heard of him, guy. I've listened to some of. I'm familiar. I recognized him when he showed us that picture. I've listened. Where have I heard? Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Has he done podcasts or is he still around, this guy?
A lot of people say he was killed in 2012.
It's a long time ago I heard him.
About 10 years ago is when his stuff became quite popular on BitChute,
right.
And it was still being pumped out there until about 5 years ago. But there is a Facebook page that belongs to Donald Marshall, and every day he posts stuff. Now, I don't know who it is, if it's him or not. I don't know if he did die, but a lot of people say he did. And he did say when he wrote his last book that he was having problems with his heart and they were torturing his clone regularly. And it was, they were then uploading, in the REM stage, they were uploading the trauma to him while he slept. And he'd wake up with chest pains, stomach pains, and it was all being transferred. And that was what he was saying. They make a clone of you, and they use Clone Aid or one of these centers, cloning centers. He reckons that they've got them in all these dumbs, all these underground military bases throughout the world. They've got these cloning stations in there, and so they make a clone of you, and this clone is then used for all sorts of. Pretty vile acts.
Yeah.
But also, it gives people an opportunity. So let's say that we want Brad Pitt round for dinner Saturday night. Well, Brad Pitt can't make it. We'll have his clone instead. Nobody knows the difference. And then we can all have a play around with it after.
Yeah.
And if things get a bit too much, we can stab it and kill it and do whatever we want to do with it.
We'll just make another one.
Yeah. And as long as Brad's being a good boy, Brad will never know anything about it. But if Brad starts speaking out about what's going on, then we'll upload the trauma from the clone into Brad while he sleeps rather than the other way around. Donald Marshall reckons that when you sleep, they send the information from you to the clone. So if the clone is on TV today, he knows exactly what you did yesterday. He's up to date. He's got the memo, if you like.
Have you listened to the...
Yeah, I got right into that stuff guy, at one point, I remember. Yeah.
It's
stuff fascinating. We did with Jerry Mazinski?
No.
Yeah,
no,
you should listen to that. You should listen to that podcast. I'll, if I remember, I'll email it over after we finish the first
Thank
one we did
you.
With him. Yeah.
How many books did that guy write?
About half a dozen.
Do you believe that whole story then? Do you think?
I don't know.
It was interesting. No, I remember. Was it a bit about fighting him as well and stuff in these underground bases and something weird?
Yeah.
I remember. I can't remember where the hell I listened to that or heard it.
Yeah, he said the main was in Canada, and he sort of implicated members of the royal family.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember that story as well. Now you mentioned that,
the information he has on how they clone is incredible. That what he put in his first book about how the process and how the cloning takes place. I mean that is exactly how Dolly the Sheep was produced.
We made a film. About what? Do you remember that film, The Island, with Ewan McGregor in it?
Ewan McGregor. It's a remake of an older one. Yeah.
Is it real? Is it a remake? Mm. I didn't know that. Michael Bay made it, didn't he? Transformers guy.
Yeah.
It's a good film, actually. We just turned into a chase film, but the premise of it, where they were under, they thought the world had ended, didn't they? So they were underground, and they were basically cloning them for spare parts.
Mm.
Never happened that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that story you're telling us there is fantastical, but who knows, man? I think anything's...
Well, if anybody thinks that they're not making clones, I think we're a little bit naive at this stage.
Yeah.
Or even attempting to, yeah? I say attempting. We can't prove that it's happened, but I would say it's happened.
Yeah. This is my argument. I don't think that one day you've made Dolly the Sheep, so it's, was it 96, was it?
And then that was it, wasn't it? I always thought that.
Would they go home then? They say, okay, it worked.
Forget it. We did it.
Closed down the cloning centre. Yes, just started.
Yeah. He says, well, you know, I've just made myself redundant. We've done it.
They haven't invented a bloody air bomb repeater firework, have they? Right, we've done it now. We've finished with that one. Yeah.
Yeah, done. And what did they? So what did they do next? And but then if you look at you know, the story of the Anunnaki, even if you look at the story of the Bible, you know, Adam and Eve, they didn't just make Adam and Eve and then that was it. They didn't make just two people and then everybody, you know, they're pumping these people out, and that's the story of the Anunnaki, Enki making the first human or the first, you know, Homo sapien.
And if you think as well, guys,
thousands of them out.
The Adam and Eve story, if you think, he took a rib of Adam's to make Eve, mm-hmm. that would be the perfect, you know. I mean,
it's the Frankenstein story, isn't it? It's all, yeah, it's all these bad stories.
I mean, now we know it's, you know, they've got all the genes in the rib and the marrow and everything's in the rib. So, but then all them years ago they did it. So it's clearly some kind of cloning operation.
And also, if you think about the cookie cutter, as in, there's only certain parts that look exactly the same, going back to doppelgangers and all this type of stuff. You know, people have the same characteristics. There's only so many, isn't there? That's why they can do them photo fits and things like that, because there's only so many noses. I know Chris is a bit of a one-off with his nostrils, but other than that... You like that, Chris? Like how I got that in? But yeah, it isn't fantastical to me. If anybody wants to clone Chris's nostrils, they can do.
Should we go into your book, Guy, then? So,
yeah.
Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids. I mean, you can't not be intrigued by that, for sure.
It's a strange title, isn't it? People like that say to me, well, what's that got to do with Tartaria? You've written a book about Tartaria. You've named it after a car and a doll. and that was actually the reason I named it that. I wanted people to recognize it, to pick it up and say, what's that? What's that? That's the car, isn't it? I remember those dolls. Because if you write a book and call it Tartaria, the only people that are going to pick it up and read it are people who already know what Tartaria is. So I wanted to give it a title that sort of opened up other trains of thought. And the link between Nikola Tesla and the Cabbage Patch babies or kids is that Nikola Tesla, this man who changed the course of history, this technological, well, an early equivalent of what people perceive, and I don't believe this to be true, but what people perceive Elon Musk to be, this sort of whiz kid, this tech man. He invents, you know, hundreds of different things that change the course of history, you know, radio control, neon lights, wireless energy transmission, and so on. And he reckons that all of this stuff comes to him in visions. He never sleeps, he doesn't eat, he never has sex, he dies a virgin, penniless. And every single thing he invented, he didn't have to write down, because in his mind, where he imagined this vision that came to him from Venus, because he said he was from Venus, that all of this stuff comes to him so well and so detailed that when he conducts his experiment, it works exactly as he thought it would. Now, my theory is this. One, I don't think he existed. There's no video footage of this technological whiz kid anywhere in the world, not a single bit of video footage, but there is of Edison, there is of Einstein, all of the people that were around at the same time as him doing kind of similar stuff have video footage apart from him. Even his museum in Serbia has nothing at all. Nothing exists. And do you know what the museum said to me? The reason is they think he might have been shy.
That reminds me of George Orwell, that.
George Orwell.
There's no video footage of George Orwell. All that BBC recording, there's no video footage of George Orwell. Only limited images of him as well.
And it's almost like the description of Tesla is very similar to how they describe Elon Musk, isn't it? Was that the first one, you know, setting up this genius who never sleeps? Sleeps under his desk, but he's the richest man in the world. Why would you sleep under your fucking desk? Why would you sleep under your desk?
Trump doesn't sleep either, does he? Trump doesn't sleep.
Yeah. They always say that about, like, you know, fuck, it's bullshit, isn't it? You know.
Yeah,
I'm not buying it.
It depends what they're jabbing him with. I mean, if you look at Trump, I'll use Trump as an example. He's knocking towards 80. And he's sharp. Is regardless of what we think about Trump.
Oh Christ,
right?
He is sharp.
He is. He talks like he's all right. Mm. He talks. He doesn't talk like anybody I've ever heard talk. Right, mm, Trump. No. But he's sharp.
I think you're right. Though, not
only
recently,
that, he's aggressive. The sharp as well. He's,
oh, he is. You know. Yeah.
Like I mean, you said a while ago.
He's up for a row.
Yeah. They all seem like they're on something.
They are on something.
The White House.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Either, maybe that's why it's the White House.
Yeah. It's they're on TRT for definite, testosterone replacement, and probably growth hormone, and possibly a lot of shit we don't know about as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, stuff that's above our pay grade.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, so yeah. I think we've liked Nikola Tesla, but my first thought is that on him, that he didn't exist. And I think what they've done is they've credited a lot of inventions, a lot of technology that they had to one person. They've given a backstory. Now, this is supposed to be the same with Leonardo da Vinci and also William Shakespeare, that it was a committee that wrote Shakespeare's work. It's also true of J.K. Rowling. She didn't write any of those books. Mm. They were given to her, all of these stories. They're all
no, she wrote them in a coffee shop on a napkin.
On a napkin. They always use that napkin as well.
Yeah.
They always, why napkin? Can you not afford a fucking pad? Yeah.
So that's kind of my thoughts on him. I think that it was just a name. There might have been a man called Nikola Tesla, but I don't think he was making all of these inventions, and his backstory is absolutely bizarre. So I think that he was, if he did exist, whoever this person was, it's a name given to someone who was reverse engineering technology that had been around for a very long time that had been suppressed. So that and the technology I'm referring to is Tartarian technology, harnessing energy from the ether. It is what they did. It's Atlantean technology. And the connection with the Cabbage Patch Kids is that 1776, as most people know, if you look on the back of the American dollar bill, it's the beginning of New World Order and the start of the Illuminati. And then all of these laws are introduced. And then all of a sudden, we've had all of these civil wars, the Napoleonic Wars. The populations crumbled. And then all of a sudden, there are a lot of children about, a lot of babies about. And I would ask people to check out Alice Guy, French movie filmmaker. Her first film was The Cabbage Patch Fairy. And the second one is The Midwife to the Upper Classes. And just watch how they handle children.
What year are we talking?
Late 1800s, early 1900s.
Alice Guy. Is that a man or a woman then?
Woman, French. Yeah, French pioneer filmmaker.
So where can you see those guys?
They're on YouTube. You'll find them on YouTube, right. Yeah. They pick up babies in this, and you can see when you watch it that they're picking up these babies like they haven't seen a baby before. Certainly they haven't handled one before. And this whole series of postcards came out called Repopulation Postcards, and they pictured babies growing in amongst cabbages.
I've seen them, yeah.
And what people are suggesting is that there was a whole repopulation program going on where they were either using baby farms and set that the kids were for sale, by the way. They were then put on display at the world's fairs across the world, and you could buy them there. And then children at the same time were being shipped all over the world. In America, it was called the orphan train movement. Children were just shipped everywhere. And they repopulated the planet with little kids. I mean, kids as young as 6 and 7 were mining and farming. The Industrial Revolution, and if you look at images, it's all children.
Dickensian,
no adults to
orphanages.
Be seen. Yeah, absolutely. So my theory is that these kids came from somewhere. There were hundreds of thousands of them moved around the world.
You have that story as well of them sending kids to Australia for stealing them off the bread. Everyone knows it. Everyone's heard that.
$10
poms, were it? £10 poms.
The weird thing is, at the same time they claim they were sending, and I don't believe this happened, but the same time they claimed they were sending convicts to America, to Australia, people were paying thousands of pounds to emigrate there at exactly the same time. So my argument would be, we don't need to be paying anything. You're not put into custody when you get there. You just end up getting a job building or working for a government office. Let's just go nick something.
Yeah.
They're just repopulating it, weren't they?
Yeah, and so where were all the people? Where had all the people gone? So the Cabbage Patch sort of theory, if you like, is that they were cloning.
Yeah.
They repopulate the planet with little kids. They put them into orphanages. They ship them around the world. These kids didn't know who they were. They had no history, and they could wipe an entire empire out without anybody knowing about it. Most of the people died in from plagues and through war and famine. And those that didn't, if they didn't comply, they locked them up. Because at the same time as that New World Order started in 1776, you start to see asylums open, prisons open, and orphanages open all over the world, even places like Tasmania.
And the asylums were huge, weren't they?
It looked like huge Victorian stately homes. I mean, you don't build something like that to stick kids in or mental patients in or criminals in. The prisons look just the same. You don't go to the lengths of marble staircase and stuff for a lunatic asylum, do you?
That's why the orphanage is so prevalent in literature, then, old literature, aren't they? Oliver Twist, all these stories about, you're like, where
And
are
it
all
was
the
all the same
parents
era,
supposed
weren't
to be?
it? The same era. Yeah.
You're aware,
Why
where are the
are all the parents
parents?
supposed to be?
And there's always been this big push with orphans as well. I mean, and I think that that's pro we're programmed to see the journey of an orphan being the journey of a hero. Because if you look at, well, if you look at, take the first one that we know of, let's say Jesus was born fatherless, and then we have stuff like King Arthur, an orphan. Then we have Luke Skywalker. Then we have Harry Potter. And in Disney, it goes on and on and on. Every other bloody film is
Everyone's an
its
off.
or book, whether it's Tarzan you're watching or maybe Pinocchio, or and then you've got some really dark shit going on, like Peter Pan, taking people's children away to another island and having the Royal Navy come and rescue them. It's twisted into, Captain Cook being the Captain Hook, sorry, being the bad guy, but of course Peter Pan, who hangs around with a fairy, has just stolen someone's children in the middle of the night
The theory
and took
is
them away. Yeah, it's
that it hooks the escaped lost boy, you know,
yeah.
the pirates, the escaped lost boy. I think I heard you mention that actually in one of your podcasts.
Yeah.
I've heard that theory. It shook me when I first heard that
It's dark.
theory.
It's dark. And the person who wrote the book actually is pretty dark. He ended up with someone else's children. The parents mysteriously died. He was a friend of the family. He changed the will, took custody of their kids, and they all killed themselves.
Bloody hell. Don't get much darker than that, does it? Is that what's his
Dark.
name? Bar, is it? Was that his name?
I can't remember his name.
Forgotten his
I can't
name,
remember.
yeah.
As I get older, I have to write everything down. Otherwise, if I haven't written it down and it's not in front of me, it's gone.
I also think we're packing that
It's
much
gone.
information into his heads now.
It's pushing old
Yeah, it
culture
doesn't
out.
help, does it? It doesn't
No.
help. No. Well, I've been sort of studying this stuff for a long time. I've got hundreds of books, and some of them are quite old. I mean, maybe actually, it's probably
What's
better if
that?
I hold it.
You've got it
No,
upside
it's
down.
upside down. Yeah, that doesn't help, does it?
Travels in Tartary, Tibet and China, 1844 to 1846.
When was that
So,
written, Guy?
this one was written in. Okay,
Because
see if
this
I can
type of
find
research
it.
has been going on for a hell of a long time, hasn't it? As
Yeah,
well.
this one was written in 19. That's 1900, apparently, or a rework of one from 1900. News from Tartary, because Tartary, Tartaria, it's different people call it different things, but
Do you think this is going back to what we were talking about earlier, the people that are running this shit show? Do you think this is where these people come from?
no, I think that
Or do you think they were wiped out? Or
no, I think they've always been here. I think that these families have always been around, and I think sometimes that they've been the victors, and sometimes they've been the losers, and I think the start of New World Order, and this is what people believe. I don't know. I'm still digging into this, but they say that it goes in cycles. There's some agreement that's put in place. And the agreement was that there would be peace for 1,000 years. And some people associate that with Jesus, and they'll say that the 1,000 years, which was the Tartarian period of time, which ended in 1776, that was a period of peace, living in balance and harmony, people understanding, frequency, people being able to heal themselves. There was no disease, no toxins, nothing like this. And then we enter what they call Satan's little season, a period of apparently 250 years from 1776 onwards, where the parasites are put in charge and they're allowed to cause chaos and do whatever they like. And the reason that this was agreed was because if they weren't given this time, they were going to cause a global war or a nuclear war or cause some horrific event that would wipe everybody out. So they've got this sort of deal going where they have periods of time where different beings, different families, different rulers get to say what happens and get to play out their plan. And people believe, and I don't, but I hope I'm wrong, people believe that Trump is the one that's going to usher in the next period of time.
The new golden era.
Yeah.
What a good time. And,
yeah, apparently. Yeah, but I think that if, having read a bit of Dolores Cannon and a bit of Nostradamus, that the next Antichrist, I sort of talk in biblical terms quite a lot. I'm not religious, but I do believe there's a lot of information in there that's been bastardized.
They're either biblical prophecies happening or someone's following it, I would say.
Yeah, it could be either, couldn't it?
It could be either, yeah.
We don't know.
It looks like a new group's taken over in the States, doesn't it? That's what it looks like. It just looks like a new group's. It's our time now. We're doing what we want.
Where does that timeline take us, Guy? When you said it's 250 years, I've missed the date that you said at the beginning.
4th of July, 2026.
Right, bloody hell.
Yeah, that would be the 250-year period. But, and that's what a lot of people believe.
But also, biblically, isn't there supposed to be, at the end, 7 years of turmoil at the end of the evil reign? Is that right?
Yeah.
Seven or 8 years, is it? Before the golden age comes in.
Yeah,
we could have had that, actually, couldn't we?
Exactly. A lot of people say that COVID-19 would be the beginning of that. But then, you know, you could take it back even further than that, the illegal invasion of Iraq and stuff that's going on all over the world. But a global pandemic would be...
And I think another key point at the end in Revelation is the destruction of Damascus.
Yeah.
Which has just happened, basically, isn't it? Mm. That was like, that's the last point, I think.
You must have been somewhere. Yeah. I've missed those last two things.
Look what's been going on. I mean, look at Hollywood and you know, the fires and floods that we've had. It's kind of biblical to an extent. Mm. I try really hard not to watch world news because I try not to. I'm always researching because I'm writing another book, which is just about the Cabbage Patch Babies and cloning and the possibility of cloning. And, I try to sort of focus on one thing at a time, and I find that if I put the news on, then I'll be on the dark web trying to find out what's going on with or having arguments with people online or on ChatGPT trying to get it to tell me the truth. So I try to just focus on what I'm doing, but I get sent a lot of stuff. I get sent files and documents and some stuff I wished I hadn't had ever seen. Funnily enough, I got sent some paperwork that was connected to a press release that someone put out on the 24th of December 2019, saying that there was going to be something quite major happening in the following March. And described exactly what happened.
What happened again? I mean,
we got stitched up.
Yeah,
we got
absolutely whacked. Say that again, sorry, Guy. Someone sent you something. What, the year before?
Three months before.
Right. Yeah. About the year on Christmas Eve, 2019. Exactly what was going to happen.
I mean, again, going back to that meeting,
4 months time
you had with that, well, not you had, but they had with Boris Johnson, who was told their meetings will have gone on saying this is going to happen, you've got to go along with it, or we're pulling these pictures out, or that loan that you owe is going to get called back in, or whatever it is.
How are your kids?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I just ask George Michael how he got on with Sony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Or Prince. Or Michael Jackson.
Prince had been speaking out, hadn't he? Yeah. With Michael Jackson, Check out someone called Dave.
Dave.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
That's uncanny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another clue.
Who knows? Yeah. So and I think Bowie these.
One. Yeah, and the David Bowie one. Yeah.
I think these people are given an option, aren't they? They either play by the rules, or there'll be a problem, and it may be that some of these people that, let's say, for example, David Bowie, let's say that he didn't die, maybe. He just bought himself out of the contract and he now lives in Saint-Tropez or a desert island somewhere, living the high life.
Sunny side of Antarctica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Who does know? Oh, God, you reminded me of the other. Have you read this stuff as well?
I've got that in my basket on Amazon, actually. That Terra Inferma, is it called?
Worth getting. There's one by the dad, the navigator that crossed the ice wall, and then there's a follow-up by his daughter, the daughter of the navigator that crossed the ice wall.
What's it called again? I've never purchased it. There's about six of them in there. They're only short, aren't they?
So this one, that one, that's the.
What's it called again, guy? Just read it out.
The Navigator Who Crossed the Ice Walls.
Yeah,
and it's Sheep by Farm. Nostrum Funden.
Someone who listens to Sheep Farm recommended it to me, but I've never bought it. I'll buy it if it's.
I would. It's really good. And what's interesting is, I mean, I only read these. I read them a couple of years ago, and now there's a YouTube channel where they've actually done quite a nice job with AI of animating the books, and it's really good. But I wanted to read them as soon as.
They're about the ice wall, Dom. I don't know if you've come across them, but it's about someone who actually went over the ice wall.
Yeah, in 1776.
1776, describing the whole map. I think there's maps of it and everything, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Well, and,
yeah, all the old Tartaria maps and stuff like that. I mean, you'll know more than I will, but it seem to cover a lot of this stuff, don't they? Of the bigger earth, if you like.
Yeah. It's quite interesting because those books actually say that the reason that they crossed the ice walls was because Tartaria had fallen.
Right.
They were literally direct energy weapons. They were flattening the planet. It was being absolutely destroyed. And so some people fled. They got through the ice wall. Some made it, some didn't. And they talk about the Tartarians and how it was before. It's in the book, and the book's not even about it. But interestingly enough, with the maps, in 2012, Putin presented the correct map of the world, which shows literally all of Asia and Russia and half of Eastern Europe as Tartaria, to the new president of what is left of Tartaria, Kazakhstan. He presented it to him and apologized for what had happened to his people. And shortly after that, he said, this is just the beginning. If the British and the Americans don't leave me alone and the United Nations don't pack in doing what they're doing, then I'll tell everybody who the Queen really is. I thought that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. So I don't know. But he presented one of those maps and did it publicly. Now, Trump, one of the biggest things that they put credit to the Tartarian people, especially in America, were the World's Fairs and Expositions, these huge white cities. They were incredible. Trump's bringing them back.
World Fair. You're going to do a World Fair?
Yeah, they're bringing them back. Now, that's quite interesting because he also brought out something called the 1776 report. And that was going to be to give, yeah, it's always the year. That was going to be put into schools so everybody would be given the correct history of America, who the real forefathers were, who built everything. The family called the Moors, nobility called the Moors. Were the people that built the White House and all of these incredible buildings. And he was going to rewrite history and correct their mistakes
The architect for the Capitol building was the same architect that built Ashdown House, where Boris Johnson went to school, the school I was talking about.
I remember that, yeah.
So they say that Ashdown House was the precursor to the Capitol building. That's how long Ashdown House.
It looked similar, didn't it? I think if I remember.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, yeah. Had the white dome and things like that. But
the backstories are normally what you can often do is, for example, if you look at some of the world's fairs, and a friend of mine, a fellow called Ben Hollands, he really explored this in quite a lot of detail. He was looking at the Crystal Palace in London.
No, Mrs. is
and
from Crystal
what's
Palace.
Interesting with that is the architect of that, he won the gig to design it by entering a competition. He enters the competition. 2 weeks later, the winner's announced. He's then on site building it. What they miss out is he lived in Australia. He applied by post. They would have had to have notified him he'd won by post. He'd then have to travel. So he worked out that that whole process would have taken between 9 months and a year for him to enter the competition and then be on site starting work. 2 weeks of him entering the competition, he is on site building it. But some of them are really good because I traced a building in Bath, and it's an old water treatment hospital. It looks like Greco-Roman type, what we would call Tartarian building. And I had a look at who they said was the architect. He was born the year after it was built. and when you dig away, you'll often find the first building they're given credit to is the most obvious, and the backstory kind of lines up. They often won't have much of a background in architecture. But you kind of think, okay, well, they just got lucky. Sometimes they'll win a competition. That's quite a popular reason for someone getting a big contract. But then you'll look at the list of all of the other buildings that they're given credit to, and you will always find one, at least one, where they weren't even born when it was built. And it's quite weak.
Mm. Yeah, they could put that down to a mistake, though, can't they? Oh, it was a mistake.
Yeah, but it's on all of them.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Yeah. Do you know? Yes, they could absolutely.
Yeah, that's what they do, though. Don't they? They put it down to. That's a mistake. It's just a mistake. He built all the other ones.
Yeah,
though.
I've always been interested in architecture, and I remember when I was a kid, I moved to London when I was 20. Then I went from London. You remember, Dom? I went worked in Greece for a period. Then went to Egypt. Because I always wanted to go to Egypt. Yeah, I was always fascinated, obviously, by the pyramids and all that.
I remember because I had to pay for your ticket to come home.
Yeah, because we went to Egypt.
Never got that back.
Went to Egypt, went to Daha, got stoned for a week.
And I had to drive to run out of money.
Ran out of money and I had to get money off the I gave it you back, didn't I?
I got caught. No, you bollocks. You gave it me back. I Dom, I brother, you're all right. Yeah. Can you pay for me a ticket to come home? You're not missing me then.
I've been 20. Yeah, I went to London when I was 19, then went to Greece, and then went to Egypt. I always wanted to go to Egypt. So I went across from Crete to Egypt without any money, as I was just saying. Traveled all the way down. Anyway, the first thing that struck me, right, because I've always had an interest in architecture, the architecture in Cairo or Alexandria, I can't remember, or both, can't remember, looked exactly like London, but just sander. I remember thinking at the time, I don't understand how is the architecture, I'm 20 years old, how is it exactly the same? What's the official explanation for that? They've got the same architecture in Greece.
And India.
Egypt, India, even in Mexico, in America, all
South
over the world.
America. New Zealand, Australia, India, even though China.
They even say there's no new old stuff in New Zealand, but I've seen the pictures of the ones in New Zealand and Australia. In fact, Guy, I think someone did a video, I think it might have been Conspiracies R Us, I think it was him, or John Levy, one or the other. They did a video about Huddersfield train station where me and Dom are from, because that's Greco-Roman architecture. Mm. And it's just a train station. But some of the architecture in Huddersfield, I mean, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
It's a library. Yeah. Lion's Chambers.
Yeah. Lion's Chambers, the railway station in Huddersfield.
But again, like the NASA Apollo lost blueprints, you look at it and you think, why don't these things, everybody knows these buildings are beautiful, so why don't they carry on building them? Mm. Why are we left with these piles of shite that they build with concrete and the metal frames?
I kind of got a theory to that. I mean, first of all, I don't think I think that they were a different civilization that built those things. I mean, if you go into one of those buildings when it was originally built, and you work and you had the kit to see what frequency was being bounced around in there, it's always frequencies that balance with Earth, sort of 528, 432 hertz. the frequencies of life, of all living matter. And they say that they'd have an organ in there with a pipe organ that was working on cymatics and frequency and vibration, and that by being in that train station before it was a train station, because they're always repurposed, they're normally government buildings of sorts or banks, that being inside one of those places fixed you. You felt better. And
they very rarely pull these buildings down, do they, Guy? They very rarely pull them down.
No, they don't. No, you're right. No, they don't. And that was true of the Crystal Palaces as well. And I think that first of all, they understood how to build and how to make things that actually resonated. So you went in and you came out feeling euphoric and well and healed. And they used to build gardens like that too. There was one in Berlin called the Tiergarten, and you could walk your pets around there. And the frequency that was emitted just from the landscaping of the garden actually healed the pet. And they built star forts that did the same thing as well. But I think that, so first of all, I think we don't build like that because they don't want to build like that. There isn't the money, the time, the skill, the knowledge. And secondly,
different headspace as well, Guy, just a totally different
thought
process that they know. Because, I mean, if you go around St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster, there's no explanation as to why Westminster looks like that. St. Paul's Cathedral, we just wouldn't have the space in his heads to be able to...
Well, they always use the old excuse, it'd cost too much money.
Yeah, they had slaves back then, cheap labour.
We haven't got the skill now to do it. Why haven't we got the
populations as well?
Yeah.
If you look at you look at some of the buildings in Australia at a time when you just had a few thousand people living in one of these cities, and they all just happened to be criminals who were master stonemasons and craftsmen, work with marble and granite. Where did all the stuff come from?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like these Crystal Palaces, where did the glass come from? All these buildings. So, but I think the other thing is that the reason they don't build like that anymore is I think stuff now is built to come down quick.
Mm. Do you know, I was going to say that, Guy. That's a very dark thought I had recently.
Mm.
Is it for that they can just flatten it all?
Like a porta cabin type
environment. You won't have to worry about the old Tartarian buildings because they're going to flatten it and start again. Yeah,
because if you think about it, I also think there are some buildings that they're not allowed to touch. I mean, so if I was in charge of bombing during the Second World War and I was based in Germany, I'm Luftwaffe or whatever I am, I'm going to take out Westminster, I'm going to take out Buckingham Palace, I'm going to take out St. Paul's, I'm going to really upset some people.
Mm, yeah.
Why didn't they touch them?
Mm. Well, I mean, we mentioned this on a podcast, didn't we, Chris? And somebody put a comment, it did get bombed, Buckingham Palace. No, some stray bombs fell on it. Let's get it straight. Mm. It didn't get flattened. Yeah. They could have.
No.
That thing was a massive target.
I've got a theory, guys.
Yeah.
I've got a theory about the Blitz, right? And this is something I've kind of came up with while we were on the podcast window. So you've got a situation where you sound an alarm, everyone runs and hides. When they come out of the hiding places, a load of buildings have gone. I don't want to talk like a conspiracy theorist, but some of it's very suspicious.
I know what you're thinking.
Because I remember seeing a documentary. It was a war documentary, and they were saying that there were this, slums in the East End, and the government wanted to get rid of them, but all the locals wanted to stay there, so they couldn't get rid of them. And then it just happened when the war happened; it got flattened, and then they got rebuilt. Yeah. So you have to be, you have to have a bit of suspicion, don't you, as to the
you're not on your story. Own with that.
I'm not really. All right.
No, you're not. You're not.
So it raises the question.
Are we
some of the lost Tartarian bloodlines? Is that why we're speaking out? Not just about Tartaria, but, have we, because obviously you talked about the orphans. Yeah. They're the new people coming in, probably without the skill set. They've been trained not to have the skill. Have we got
the NPCs,
some of the old, have we got some of the old bloodline? That's why we're, for some reason, questioning cat.
Yeah, I think so. I think that because they say that I just talked about this with my wife earlier on, that our DNA and water and every part of us holds information. It stores memory, doesn't it? It's our DNA is storing memory and data. And I think we know something isn't right. And I think that's why you two are doing this and why I do this. because there are things that just don't seem right, and we're trying to tell other people that this doesn't stack up. And I'm guessing that you weren't regularly going to the local medical centre in 2020 either.
No, surprisingly enough.
No, so it's because it didn't seem right. There was something just felt a bit wrong about it.
A bit.
Didn't fancy going to an extermination camp.
No.
It's not funny.
No, actually. Which is what we... which is exactly what I thought. My first thought was, I don't want to die. I'm scared of whatever they're offering me. I don't want it.
They can go and fuck themselves.
yes, I did think that while I was driving around, but again, camping and not taking any notice.
But again, guys, it was this the whole last 5 years shenanigans? Was that part of the next end of an era? You know,
without I think so. I think that was a big test.
Depressing.
I think if you want to find out who's going to obey and who isn't, then that's a pretty good test. Are you going to stay indoors for as long as we tell you? Are you going to go down there and have this trial thing that we're making everybody aware it is trial?
All the evidence was there. Everything you could see everything if you wanted to.
Yeah,
and it was amazing, wasn't it?
Wanted to see who would comply and who wouldn't. And I think, like you said a minute ago, that who could possibly be connected with the past could be the same people that feel uncomfortable about certain things that go on.
I've often said, right, that the people who run the shit show, we actually have. So let's just say there's 5% who run the shit show. Yeah. There's probably about 5% people questioning it, hardcore questioning it, right? We've got a lot in common with them. Maybe that we do the opposite. We're the opposite. We're the flip of the coin to what they are. But we have a lot in common with them. We haven't got the knowledge that they've got, but we've got a lot of knowledge that the NPCs haven't got.
Or the lack of empathy.
Yes. Yeah.
They've got a lack of empathy. We have empathy.
Yes.
You know?
Maybe we're the good guys.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this. Maybe not in this ruse, whatever it is. Maybe they're the bad guys. I know it sounds a bit mad, that, but if you think about it, if we're not...
Well, no, if you're starting World War II and you're going to wipe out half a young population of the world, you're the bad guys.
We could possibly be usurpers that shouldn't be here.
Maybe.
You know, so to them, we're the bad guys.
Well, obviously. Well, I see it as a different way, personally. I see it as where we are the cattle, basically. Oh, that's how they see us, should I say.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And I was saying to Dom, guy, I don't really think, but if you were the elite, the people running the shit show, should we say, and we are the cattle, they see us as the cattle. Like some farmers really look after their animals and they love their animals, even though they know they're going to, you know, get slaughtered one day. And some of them are just kind of aggressive and nasty to them and they mean nothing to them. It could be a similar kind of scenario, couldn't it? With the, you know, the rulers of this realm, shall we say.
Yeah.
Could be a similar kind of setup where, some of them are all right, you know. And I've always said to Dom, I think they have agreements. Like there's some things they can't disclose, even though they're probably fighting within each other about it. For instance, the convid, they can't talk about that. They can't talk about the Tartarian history, even though a lot of them probably know about it. But they can still squabble between themselves, but not bring up certain things like space.
I think you're right. Because I suppose to give a good example of that would be Antarctica.
Yeah.
Why have all these nations that collide and hate each other, why are they still adhering to this treaty?
Yeah.
You know, why doesn't Putin right now, just for an example, say, do you know what, I signed that thing, forget it. I'm withdrawing my signature from it. I'm going to tell everybody what's going on there.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go and build a city there. Bollocks to you all. Yeah. You know, why are they all standing by that treaty still after all this time?
Because there's no countries. It's an agreement, a gentleman's agreement. Like American and Russians?
Why are they all going along with global climate bollocks change?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why are they all on the ISS?
Yeah.
Fake space station.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I don't think there's anything going on up there.
No, I don't either.
What, you don't believe that Elon sent a rocket up to rescue him that's blown up twice?
That woman with haircut, man, come on, Jesus, they were air sprayed up.
How long have you been there?
They've been there since July. They were supposed to just go up and come back, but they got stranded somehow. I think they're hungry upside down, those people.
How did they have enough food?
I don't know. Well, they had them Christmas hats as well, didn't they, at Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what the... Look, we're only going up for 2 weeks. Remember to take your Christmas hat.
Take them Christmas hats, just to guess. Yeah. I'll just take them at Bermuda shorts. Christmas clothes as well.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And they can't go back to the moon anymore because they threw the technology away.
I know.
I mean,
bollocks.
Yeah. Did you see Buzz Aldrin say to that girl, there was that clip going around a while back, that girl at school, that they never
went.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a noted Mason, weren't he? Quite high up, I think, with Buzz Aldrin.
They all were. They all were, fine.
Yeah.
And they didn't look exactly happy when they landed, did they?
No.
The first press conference, they're not jumping up and down saying, we've just been to the moon. They look so unhappy.
Yeah, they put that down to that they were drained. Yeah, they were drained of the life.
Yeah. It's just weird as well. They've literally just had another thing land on the moon, haven't they? But what I find odd about it, there's no fanfare about it anymore. It's just I saw it on a YouTube.